was just thinking, there's always a time when you're going to walk up here and it be your last time walking up here as senior pastor. And I was telling Debbie about driving out of here yesterday or the day before yesterday, and I was thinking about, there comes a time when you as a senior pastor no longer are, you drive out of here. And so I was thinking about that as I was driving out of here, and it kind of tugged at my heart a little bit, and then I heard the Lord say, well, here we are. And I thought, well, here we are. And so my thinking is, there's probably some of you that have kind of walked through us with this process, and you think, is this guy ever going to leave? And I just wanted you to know, and giving you a heads up, I've got two more messages next Sunday. Not true. But anyhow, today is a special day, and it really is about what God is doing. And I like the way Brandon alluded to it, praying about how God really does know what he's doing. And God can move through leadership, and God can stir up leadership. And God can place and put people where he wants them. And so we are, to me, we are, and we should all know that, but we are experiencing just that. And who wouldn't want God's best? Who wouldn't want God's order for their life? And because when you know that it's God's order, you know that it's going to be blessed. It's going to be lived in, walked out, and God will do incredible things in the lives of his people. So we're thankful for that. Amen. And before I go any further, I would be amiss not to introduce my lovely wife. We've been married exactly 1 year today. Amen. Come here, Debbie. You know, very rarely do you get to marry somebody as good looking as me.
That's true.
We'll do a little marriage counseling this next week, but rarely do you get to fall in love two times and be loved by a woman the way I've been loved by two wives. And this wife here has just been incredibly special, and part of the big reason that we are here today is because of her encouragement and because of her just encouraging me to take care of business back here. And so I'm very thankful, but I'm very thankful that you are in my life. Every time I look at Debbie, I think, God, I'm so blessed. And so I just want you to know that I'm in good hands. And she just about got me whipped into shape. But anyhow, this is a great lady. If you have a chance to say hi to her, do that. Tell her how much you appreciate her, what she's done, and how they've stood with us. And her family, two of her daughters are here, Anna and Janelle, with their families. And you can tell that both of their husbands married up, and as I did. So anyhow, Marcus and Anna, Cody and Janelle, stand up. And they're here with their three, each of them have three children, and so we welcome you. We literally, when we got married, our families doubled. She has 19 grandchildren, one on the way, and we have 21 now. We just had several of those are great grandchildren, and the reason they're great grandchildren is because I'm such a great grandpa.
That is true.
But anyhow, I'm going to give you a mic. I should do that for Shana sometime so she can get back at Brandon. But if you'd like to say something, I'll put you on the spot a little bit.
What do you want me to talk about?
I don't care.
I don't really have much to say. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
We're really thrilled. Pastor Wes has been, been here quite a bit this last few months, and so glad that preparation has been made on with Pastor Tim, his family, and you as at Westview, and even Light of the World. It's been good, the transition that we have slowly all been making. It's not just been one person or Pastor Wes and Pastor Tim.
Thanks for remembering that name.
Wasn't sure who you were.
I have that impression on people, so.
So it has been good. It's been good for all of us. Maybe some are ready to go, make a quick move and change, and And sometimes it works like that, but sometimes it doesn't, and it's been good. We were just talking just recently, maybe last night or this morning, just how that it has been good, even for me, kind of being a slow transition, just being newly married and then church and family. And it's just been wonderful, though, how not only our lives, but our family's lives have meshed together. And I know a few times when Wes is there, kids walk in and they run past me to hug him. It's like, I'm the one. But our grandkids and my grandkids love him much. They've been very good to us all.
Yeah.
So we're just honored. I'm just honored to be a part of Westview, Light of the World, and our futures are great.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Oh, you know what I'm doing? I'm just trying to not get into the message because I know when it's done, it's going to be done. But anyhow, my sister Vivian, you may stand up, flew from Austin, Texas to be here. She and her husband, John, have been not just great siblings, but just been good friends. And Dixie and Gary. Dixie lives in Lakin, and Gary, well, they kind of between Phoenix and Lakin, but stand up. They are a blessing to me. Thank you, Lord, for just good family. Good family. And then all of my family, and they're here again. I'm so thankful for just our family. And I see some incredible grandkids. I see young kids with great futures. And the world is coming to an end. It's been coming to an end ever since I've been in the ministry. And but I believe we still have some great years left in this country. And it's when the people of God begin to stand up and do what they're called to do, we're going to see God do wonderful things in this nation and throughout the world. God's not done. Amen. Not done with your family. Those of you that are believing God for your children, keep on believing them. Believe in God and you will see and do great things. So also I wanted to introduce Cello and Maya Lozano. Mia or Maya?
Mia.
Mia Maya. Mia, I'm sorry. They came over to her house last night. They're all the way from Waco, Texas. Can anything good come out of Texas? And so there's Austin, Texas represented, Waco, Texas. But stand up if you would please. He's involved with the International Office of FCF. Wonderful people, love God, and you know, when you meet the people of God, it's just a treat. Amen. So today really is, it may sound like it's a little bit about me, but it's not. It's about what God's doing. And so we're excited about what God's doing. Little did I know when I met Tim Nunnery years ago, he was playing basketball here at Fort Hays, and just fortunate that we are a basketball family. And I remember going to the first ball game after I found out that Kristen had been kind of seeing this guy that was on the basketball team. And so Sandy was trying to point him out to me, and I said, honey, they all look alike. Because there weren't any white guys on the team. And there was Tim, and so we started trying to figure out a way to meet Tim. And Tim is such a conversationalist. He came over to our house, and literally the first conversation we had with Tim was, I said, hi, Tim, I'm Wes. And he goes, hi. And he sat down, and then I said, we'll see you, Tim. He said, bye. And it just thrilled my heart to hear all those words coming out of his mouth. But that said, he's produced some incredible children in our life, grandchildren that have just been amazing. And I remember the day Isaiah and I went into, Isaiah must have been about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old. And you find out how the human heart is just so ready to believe the best when you talk to a little kid. because they just don't see bad in people. You have to train them to hate. You have to train them to be racist. But anyhow, we're walking in, Isaiah and I'm holding his hand, and he's probably 3-4 years old, and we're going into Orchlands, and we're going to go in and see the baby chicks and the little baby rabbits that they have in there during Easter season, during the spring. And so we're walking in, and Isaiah and I are walking, holding my hand, and he said, "Grandpa, my mom's white." I said, "Yeah, she is." He said, "My dad's black." I said, "Well, yeah, he is." He says, "But I'm brown." I said, "Yes, you are." I said, "Isn't that awesome? You all have your own color." Then we're walking a little bit further, and he says, "Grandpa, do you have a dad?" I said, "Well, yeah, but he's gone to heaven." He said, "Well, what color is he?" That's how innocent hearts are. But anyhow, I say this, and when I think of Tim, I think of nothing but just joy. And that doesn't mean that we've always been in agreement about everything, but we sure have been in agreement about one thing, that we love each other and that we respect each other. And we've walked in that for a lot of years. And like I said, if you can get along with me that long, there's got to be something in your character that's moved by love. But anyhow, we're here today to do, I believe, the Lord's business. We're here to do what He's called us to do. I have been a part of this congregation for 40 years. And to me, that's been an amazing trip. If you would have told me that I was going to be here 50 years, and I used to have people ask me after I'd been here 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, "How have you stayed there so long?" I said, "Well, I just never have any real, no better offers. This is the best offer I've ever had, and until I met Debbie. And then things changed." But God used those particular moments in our life to change things. And God uses things like spouses, about husbands, wives, that we can be called together. And so I believe in my heart that our best times are yet ahead. But I believe that so much for this church and for the new leader that's coming in, Pastor Tim Nunnery. I believe that with all my heart. But I want to just take a moment, and most of you that have been going here for some time, you know how long my moments can be. But I don't want to do anything but just kind of set Tim up. We're going to talk about some things, characteristics that I believe that are in leadership's hearts. And I've seen most of these in Tim to a degree. And you could say that about any leader, because we're not all, none of us perfect. Excuse me. Can I get a bottle of water, Joe, please? I don't know if there's one up here I could. I got one. Thank you, Brandy. My favorite daughter-in-law. She's always kissing up. And good, she is a great daughter-in-law. But anyhow, we're just going to look at some things that God says about leadership. And I believe these reside in Tim. I've seen them operate into him. And I want us to understand something, that leadership sometimes can be a lonely place, because the buck will stop with you at times. And rightfully so. But when you got a congregation that's willing to follow, you've earned that over a period of time. And one of the things that's kind of nice is that Pastor Tim has been here as long as he's been here. And so you had an opportunity to go and get to know him and really understand his heart. I remember the first few times I allowed Tim to fill in the pulpit. He had been here for some time. And I had a gentleman come up to me, and he said, "When you were leaving, I was going to be gone for a couple of weeks." And I told him Pastor Tim was going to be filling in for me. He said, I really in my heart thought, "Oh, gosh." And I mean, he was telling me this. I said, "Well," and he said, "But you know, Pastor, after listening for 2 weeks, I think you should go away more often." And that's true, because he's got a gift in it. I recognized that a long time ago. He's got an anointing on him. And so I found some, and you're probably going to chide me for this, but I'm going to make it sound spiritual. I found some helpful info on Google. And here's what Google means. They may not know that in head office, but Google means God's opinion only guides leaders effectually. And if Google would live by that, that'd be a great company, wouldn't you think? But I'm going to talk about leaders and what sometimes they face. Just give you a few examples, men in the Bible. And I know there's great women in the Bible, so this is not a knock on women in any means. Some of the best leaders that you can read about are in the Bible. But I'm just saying this is what I wanted to share today. First of all, leaders do what's right even when no one else wants to. Noah was an example of that. Noah lived his life out on this earth, building an ark to save his family. And that leadership capability goes in, and I've watched him. He's guarded with his family. He's kind of like a mother hen. You mess with the mother hen's little chicks, and she'll come after you. Just come after you. And so I think that leadership, a good leader, is one that will always do the right thing regardless of what everybody else is doing. Hard decisions sometimes are not the most popular. Amen? And so we're not here to please everybody, but we are here to please God. And so just like Noah, when it was time was running out and he began to build that ark, theologians say it took anywhere from 90, 60 to 120 years. However long it did, he was faithfully built that ark and did what God called him to. But he did what nobody else in the world was doing. And God said about Noah, he said, "You're the only one that's in right standing with me on this entire earth. And we're here because of Noah, obeying God." Leaders often face the unknown. Say, who would you talk about then? Abraham. The Bible said when Abraham was called, Abraham went, not knowing where he was going. It's a wonderful thing to follow God. There's lots of times you do not know where you're going. Had Tim known that he grew up in a pastor's home. And so he thought moving to Kansas would get him far, far, far away to a distant galaxy, which sometimes Kansas can be known for. But had he known that he was going to end up here and marry a woman who said, "I'll never be the wife of a pastor." I think God just loves those moments. And so when I hired him to come out here and start working in the youth ministry, she started thinking, something's happening. But you often go where you don't know really where God's leading you. And that's a good way to live if you just kind of feel like the Lord's tugging you. The Lord's tugs will get you to where you need to be. And so don't ever think because you don't know the full picture of the end result, don't think that you're not being led by God. Because lots of times he leads you just one step at a time. Amen? Leaders will often face challenging circumstances. Joseph is a good example of that. The stuff that man went through, the things that he was sold into slavery by his siblings. You talk about sibling rivalry, there was a perfect example of it. But he ended up, by his obedience to go with God, he ended up literally delivering the people of God. It's amazing how characters in the Bible, and those characteristics with Tim and the nine, I'm not saying this because of family, but they have brought more people to church than most families I know. There's people that show up in church and think, "What are you doing here?" And they say, "Well, Tim invited me, or Isaiah invited me, or Ethan invited me. TJ, what are you doing here?" So one of my family told me I needed to be here. So Josiah brings friends. Wesley brings friends. JC brings friends. Terrence brought friends. So has Trey. They hate it when they sit on the front row. Grandpa talks about them. But I love them a lot. That's why I do. And this may be the last time I get to talk from this point of view about my family. But I'll get you sooner or later. A leader always sticks up for his people, however imperfect or perfect they may be. You stick up for them. You say, "Well, how's that?" Moses is a great example. When God started dealing with Moses, He said, you need to go in and talk to Pharaoh. Moses said, is there anybody else that you can? I stutter a lot. I don't talk very well and I need somebody. And God said, just do what I say. And finally he gave in. And when he finally gave in to do what God told him to do, the boldness came on him to go in and confront Pharaoh. Because he knew a little bit about the Egyptian law. He knew that confronting Pharaoh could cost him his head. And he went in there under the anointing of God and told Pharaoh, this is the way it's going to be. Sometimes we Christians need to grab hold of that. And we do it in a loving way. But when you see the truth of God being poured out, this is the truth. And we're not going to deviate from this. And that's what a good leader does. You get to the place where you will speak out for your people, speak up for your people. You're confident in them that God lives big in them. If you say amen, say amen. Leaders lead by example rather than just telling you what to. You can always tell people what to do, but when you lead by example, you could, a lot of times pastors say you need to serve. Well, pastors need to serve. They need to show people that they're serving. And a great example of that is Joshua. Joshua was a great leader, and he got his people clear across the wilderness, if you will, helped to get them across there. And when he finally got there, he said, now, I want to tell you something. You can serve the God that you've been serving, which is the same God I've been serving, or you can serve the gods of the people that are surrounding this place. And Joshua said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what a good leader does. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Never, never, never back away from that as a leader. Leaders are not afraid of giants. We're going to face a few. We all will. Say, well, what's a great example of that? Well, have you ever heard of David? David, as a young boy, wasn't afraid to confront a giant. Ended up taking that giant's head off. If you'll make a stand in the Lord, in your covenant in God, if you'll make that kind of a stand, you'll be taking the head off a lot of enemies that come your way. And leaders show you that by example. There can be those moments when people come in and they'll rise up and it looks like a giant's trying to walk over a ministry, walk over a pastor, walk over a situation. But I'm telling you, if you'll stand in the covenant of God, you'll take that serpent's head off and you'll put it underfoot and you'll keep on walking and you'll tread upon serpents, as the Bible says you will. A good leader does that. A good leader tends to rise to the occasion. Isaiah himself, God was saying, what prophet can I send to the people to tell them what's going on? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Always be ready to go. I remember when we were kind of beginning the transition way back in March of 2021, and we're talking about doing different things. And I asked Tim, I said, this was before the COVID kind of gave us a challenge. But I said to Tim, I said, how about doing this? And so I didn't ever hear back from him because we were still on sometimes that high and buy stuff, which is partly my fault. But anyhow, I got up in church and I was kind of telling people what we were scheduling. And I remember Tim looked up and he says, Pastor, I've got it covered. I said, great. Great. And then I walked away going, what do I want him to do? But he knew. He took it and he's not afraid to stand up to the challenge. He rises to the occasion. God's leaders are servants. I've seen that over and over again with Tim. He's willing to serve the people. Great example of one serving the people would be Jesus when he washed the feet of his disciples. He humbled himself. And he washed their feet. And that literally gives credence to them. That's why Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't, then it's not going to be good for you. And Peter said, then wash all of me. Eventually, if you'll submit yourself to servanthood, you'll be able to help people to get completely washed by the Spirit of the living God. So that they can go on in victory and live the way God wants them to. Amen? Amen? There are more, but these are characteristics I have seen in my son-in-law and my associate pastor. And for that, I am thankful. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit because in a little bit, I'm going to have Brandon and Tom come up with me and we're going to lay hands on Tim. and Tim and his wife Kristen. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the significance of laying on of hands, because it doesn't happen in a lot of churches, but that's one of the signs that follow believers. And so you can impart something to individuals. You can also, by the laying on of hands, sanction them as approved. Not only do we recognize that God has sent them, but we recognize that in God. God sent this person. God has set this up. Here's verses to be read out of Numbers 27, verses 15 through 20. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as a leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they go and lead them into battle. So the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to Eleazar, the priest, before the whole community, and publicly commission him to lead the people. Transfer some of your authority to him, so the whole community of Israel will obey him. Isn't it kind of amazing that Moses asked God, would you please appoint a man over these people? I have known for a long time that Tim was going to be the man that follows when I step down. But I didn't share that. I know I had that in my heart for years before I ever shared that with him, that that was a possibility. And, you know, just because sometimes God wants something, not always does it happen. Because you got human will involved. And so we began the process. And I told Tim, I said, I don't know how long this process could take. I've done this once before. I was at a church for 3.5 years in Ulysses, Kansas, and I left that church, but I left it in the hands of a pastor and didn't leave the sheep without a leader. And that's one of the things I always thought about here. How can we make this transition and have a pastor? But God had begun his plan a long time ago. And little by little, we have gotten to where we are today. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, I was sharing how we were in a board meeting. Brandon was there, Tom was there, and Pastor Charlie was still on earth. That was just a year ago. And Debbie and I had just started seeing each other, and things were getting a little serious. I couldn't keep her away from me, and I had mentioned in that board meeting, I said, guys, I think the transition is being accelerated. And I was just saying it so we could begin to plan for Tim becoming the senior pastor here. And when I said that, I looked over at Brandon, and Brandon looked at me and his lips started quivering. Brandon didn't cry a lot, but he's a big teddy bear. But his lips started quivering and a tear ran down his face, and he said, Pastor, he said, a year ago I was praying and the Lord told me that Tim was going to be my next pastor. And I said, praise the Lord. And I looked back at Tom, and Tom was going. And I looked over at Charlie, and he was going. And they were all in a nice way saying, well, you're out of here. And which was okay with me, because these guys I have trusted with my life. And I trust them. I trust their hearts to hear God. They're married to godly women. Women that pray, and they pray. And so we knew that that was inevitable, that was going to take place, and then we began that process, and Tim was in that particular meeting as well. And so they said what they said in front of him. It was like their approval of knowing what God was doing, so we agree with God. And that was pretty awesome. We didn't know that several months later that we would be battling for Tim's life, believing God for Tim's life. And but the good news is, Tim, you were saved for such a time as this. Because God just not done with you. And one wise man that mentored a lot of people told us, he said, if God's not done with you, the devil can't kill you. You can give your life up readily to the Lord, but you don't need to give it up to the enemy. Amen. So today we're going to lay hands on Pastor Tim Nunnery. And we're going to believe God for an anointing, and we're going to believe that, you know, I've talked to you as a congregation. It's just as important for you to open your heart to God's leading in this situation as is the people that are going to be leading it. And Tim will, he'll do things differently than me. He will communicate differently. He will say something like, "Hi," and "Please do this." I've heard him do that with his kids, and they sometimes can look at him about him asking him to do something, and he's got this look. It's like a come to Jesus moment, and it's okay. But that's okay. I believe the Lord is putting you in really good hands. And I know that the Lord knows that. And I know that life with God is always just a wonderful surprise. What God does, how He does it, how He loves us, how He increases our life. And so I got to tell you, for me, though there are wonderful memories and my heart is stirred in several different ways this morning, I couldn't be more happy for this man, Tim Nunnery, and my daughter, Kristen. They're stepping into a wonderful position. They're stepping into a ministry that's debt-free. Amen. Glory to God. And that's amazing. So you can send your tithes to Wes Oakley. I'm not. But Tim and Kristen, if you would come up. And Pastor Debbie, if you'd come up. And Brandon and Tom. And Shane and Marlene, you're welcome to come up too. Just stand right here facing me. This is a great moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are sitting in the congregation, if you would, just stretch your hands out toward this couple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, thank you for the unction of your Holy Spirit. We say, Lord, thank you for the life of God that has flown through this man, through this couple. And we say, Lord, that there's a new day ahead. And we give you honor and give you praise in Jesus' name. And I don't want to sell. If you want, you and your wife come up here as well. You can represent our FCF organization. Come on over to this side. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad you're here. If you feel like you have something, any of us, but right now, Father, I lay hands on this couple. I impart, God, oh God, thank you, anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've set and established you, says the Lord. I've made a crooked path straight. And your tomorrows will be on higher ground. Your health will be renewed. Your strength will be renewed. And you'll minister boldly in my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. You'll come behind in no good thing, for I've equipped you, says the Lord. I've established you. You're going and you're coming. I've done it all, says the Lord. And I'm working on your behalf. I've established your future. Your future is set. Your future is bright. And you will come behind in nothing. Nothing. You will have everything, every resource of my heavenly kingdom at your command. So rest in my peace. Do not get anxious, but determine that I will follow God in everything as you already have. You made that aware to God, and I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you, Lord, for the unity that takes place between this couple. I thank you, Lord, that you established them in a way that they've never realized before, that they together will become stronger and stronger. And I thank you, Lord, for that anointing. I thank you, Lord, for the truths that will flow from their lips. That truth is forever settled. And it established a foothold, a foundation that cannot be shook. The anointing of God flow forth freely in this place. The enemy thought he had you, says the Lord. But he knows he can't mess with my kids. And I've had you covered since August, says the Lord. You will grow stronger and grow stronger. Every time you step in the pulpit, your lung capacity will increase, says the Lord. And you will just grow stronger, stronger, stronger. And the family of God I surrounded you with, I've equipped them to help get you to where you have established yourself by vision, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sella, do you have anything? You're good.
Boka, sele boka. Evero kasho, mere veru zele maka, dore amasute, and ve moshe agi abi assured, be assured de le boka, vre ebesha about sute prefa.
There are times, says the Lord, that you just wonder, how, why will that, but be assured, says the Lord, I have taken care of all your doubts, all of your anxious thoughts, and you'll be able to walk in a peace that you didn't know was possible. The peace of mind that you have. I'm not just calling your husband, but I'm calling you alongside him. And there will be a strengthening of by my spirit, says the Lord, that will get you to live in a life of assurance. You already trust me, says the Lord, but that trust will increase many folds, many times, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you have anything?
Pastor Tim and Kristen, thank you for answering the call. My wife and I, we just want to let you know that we support you and pledge our allegiance 100% to what you're doing for this church and for this community. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Brian, you got anything?
Tim, you're not going to be just my pastor, but you're my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have always been like family to us, and we consider it an honor and a privilege to serve. And we'll continue. We will continue on, and we will be stronger, and you will be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And just get rid of any doubt in your mind right now. God's put you in the right place.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. This is more for the congregation than it is for you guys. You know, when you receive this couple, and you receive Tim as your pastor, as your leader, there's a certain responsibility that you have to that. That means being faithful in serving, being faithful in praying, being faithful with submission, being faithful with encouraging, and as you do that, it'll go well with you. Do not make his job of pastoring and leading and her job of pastoring and leading difficult. Your job is to help them fulfill the call of God on their lives. And I want to challenge you, because it will be challenging for you. Because when you go from changing from one perspective to another perspective, when you go from one leadership to another leadership, you guys are going to be challenged more often in the next 12 to 18 months. In wanting to leave, in wanting to disagree, in wanting to change things or keep things the same, this is where submission begins. Submission does not even begin until you disagree. So I want to encourage you that regardless of the decisions that are made, things that are being planned, you have to trust. If you trust that God is placing them here, then you have to trust the decisions that's being made. Amen. And it will go well with you and your household. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, keep them in your prayers. Follow their leadership, because they are who God chose to sit here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Seth, do you have anything? Just from the family perspective.
So kind of an extension of what he just said. Talked last week about having different pastors in my lifetime. Had my dad most of the time, but when you have those opportunities to question what they're doing, question it with the Word of God. He always said the same thing. If what he says doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it out. And that's the same thing. Tim, he's a man of God. His leadership's going to come from what he knows from the Word of God. So, I'm excited for this. Sad Dad's leaving, but I'm really excited you're coming on, and I think we've got a great body of believers to support you too.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? It's been a good day. Amen. Well, Mr. Senior Pastor, you want to address the people a little bit?
Sure.
Go ahead and be seated, you guys, if you would.
Whew. Kept trying to get out of this moment right here. Pastor was like, you got to say something. I didn't know how long I was going to be up here standing. There's only so much time I can stand up for right now, but without losing my breath. But I just want to thank God. He's not only a God of second chances, he's a God of another chance. And I'm so thankful for him. Thankful for Pastor Wes over the years. He talked about me saying hi and bye. I was just trying to get past the fact, why they got black babies and watermelon wallpaper in their house. So I don't want to say too much. So the whole time I was thinking about my escape route. No. Nah. My mother-in-law was pretty awesome. She was awesome. And she didn't like watermelon, did she? No. She was prophetically speaking that into existence, which is awesome. I'd like to thank my wife, we've been holding it down 25 years. Isaiah's 23, 24? Yeah, 25 years. Gotta do that right. And my kids, I mean, she was just talking about it last night. I mean, they weren't really hard to raise. TJ's probably the most challenging one. But he's funny, so that cancels out. And, good friends, me and Zello coming up here, driving up here a little over 8 hours. Family coming out. I think this is awesome. I'm so thankful. And my mom. She's been holding it down. She wanted to be here, but she couldn't. So I'm just thankful for her and her prayers and her encouragement. I mean, everyone's been giving me that, but I said she's been awesome. And I'm so thankful for her. I had a whole list of stuff. Pastor West talked about change, and, you know, and everything's going to be different. But you know what? The scripture that comes into mind is Matthew 6:33, which says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. None of that stuff matters if we're not going to seek him. And we're going to be a church that seeks him first before we do anything. So that's the vision. That's the direction we're going. It's been the same for 40 years. It's going to be the same for the next umpteen years. So we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, because that's been a great foundation that's been laid. And that's not going to change. Amen. Stand to your feet. You can close this out. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord, and you're just so awesome. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Wes and Pastor Debbie and her family, Lord, and just being such great role models and leaders. Lord, we thank you for blessing their church and their family out there, Lord, that they're going to be doing some amazing things as well. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone here, every individual here, that you are touching their lives as we speak today, Lord. And we just thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.